Okay, this will be lesson 11 in what we are calling our Bible prophecy series. And let me just say this before I go any further into this lesson. Today we are going to identify a nation that is called Modern Babylon, or Daughter of Babylon, or Mystery Babylon, or Babylon the Great, not the religious system. And understand that the things I'm sharing with you, obviously I have my opinions, and they may not be right at all. But we'll share with you some things, and then next week we'll start the timeline. I think you'll have enough information that when we talk about certain people or certain players in the play that God has put forth in the book of Revelations and in the books of prophecy, that you'll be able to have a greater understanding of that timeline. So what we see is whenever we look and we see in the scriptures where all these great nations are going to be gathered together in battle, Russia, Iran, Iraq, the Arab nations, Libya, Egypt, Turkey, Afghanistan, Pakistan, the other Middle Eastern nations that make up the Medo-Persian Empire, China, Israel, Great Britain, now the United States of Europe, we find out that there is, for some reason, one of the greatest nations that's ever been, or the greatest nation that's ever been on the earth, isn't mentioned. And that's kind of unusual. You'd think it would be. Well, actually, possibly it is. So we want to introduce the unnamed end-time nation that is called Babylon the Great. And we are going to look at what the Bible gives us, even though it does not name her other than Babylon, Mystery Babylon, the Daughter of Babylon, the Chaldean Mystery. In Revelations 18, verse 2, it tells us that Babylon the Great is fallen. So obviously, there would be absolutely no relevance at all for God to have written hundreds of years after Babylon, if you were looking at historic Babylon, geographic Babylon in modern-day Iraq, it would be no relevance at all to have a prophecy or a mention that she has fallen, unless she were to fall again. But then again, she has more or less fallen, but she will meet none of the descriptive terminologies that God is talking about when he is identifying this in the last day, this place called Babylon. And so Babylon the Great is fallen, Revelations 18 and 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. So if you will study the fall of ancient historic Babylon, you will find out that she does not meet any of the criteria that we are going to be speaking about as we identify whoever this modern Babylon is that's going to be destroyed in one day, in one hour. Revelations 18, verse 10 goes on and says, "And stand afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come." And we have seen, I know that many of you in this advanced class are familiar with my teachings, but I'm getting this down for the tape for people that have never heard this. When is it that this modern Babylon shall fall? Well, in Isaiah chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, we are seeing that in the day of the Lord, and we understand when that is now. That's the beginning of the thousand-year millennium that starts with the seven-year period of the birth pangs that usher in the new age, the age of Messiah, Mashiach. And so here we have the prophecy, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. He saw a vision. Lift up a banner on the high mountain and exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. And we have mentioned that those of us that maybe aren't as familiar as we should be with God's feast, not the Jewish feast, God's feast of the Lord, that the name for the Feast of Trumpets is the opening of the gates. And so what we see here is the banner stands for the Messiah. And so when we see the Messiah lifted up, we see that the gates of the nobles is open. And he says, verse 3, "I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for my anger," which actually is a poor rendition. I'm reading from the King James. It's actually, "I've called them to my nose as a sweet aroma, as an odor." This is a rapture. This is a resurrection. This is a Feast of Trumpets scripture. And so by studying the Feast of the Lord, we can begin to understand the time frame as we put our timeline together of when the resurrection of the dead and the fall of Babylon will be. It says, "I have commanded my sanctified ones. The noise of a multitude in the mountains is a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. Now the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. And they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And trying to get all this in this 45-minute teaching, I could stay right here on these few scriptures, on these six scriptures, but basically what I am proposing to you is the fact that what this is saying is he is looking at the fall of what we're going to call modern Babylon. It will happen when the Messiah, at the opening of the gates, at the Feast of Trumpets, resurrects and pulls up the sanctified ones. The gates of the nobles are open on the day of the opening of the gates. And then immediately after that, we see the destruction of whoever modern-day Babylon is. Now, the good news is if this theory is correct, then the church gets out of here before the destruction of modern Babylon. That's good news, huh? And so what we see is, when does this begin? Verse 6, the day of the Lord. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come from a destruction of from the Almighty. The other thing we need to catch is it is God that's destroying whoever modern-day Babylon is. And so what we have seen is God has always used an enemy nation to persecute and judge his people when they turn from their ways, from the ways of the Lord. God, this is the story of Israel. He's always used an enemy nation to bring judgment upon them. And it's the hand of God. Someone says, well, I'm not happy with the president. Well, you have the president that God says you deserve. That he raises up leaders, he puts down leaders. So everything happening in the natural is for a spiritual typology. So, in Isaiah 13 and 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. So what are we doing? We're seeing the rapture of the church when? On the day the opening of the gates happens. Opening the gates is a feast of trumpets. The closing of the gates is the name for the Day of Atonement, which comes forth 1 week or 7 years later. And no one can be saved after that day because the Yeshua Messiah will return on that day. And of course, won't be faith any longer because you'll be able to see him. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So we see now that all the other scriptures that tie to this, this particular prophecy in Isaiah is putting everything chronologically together. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. We're talking about in that day. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. So, let's go on to Isaiah 21. Therefore are my loins filled with, I'm going to read verses 3, 6, and 9 for the essence of time. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold of me as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. We understand that the birth pains are this 7 years at between the Feast of Trumpets, or the 1 week, and the Feast of the Day of Atonement. And this is called the birth pangs of Messiah. It's what brings forth the Messiah. It's also called Jacob's time of trouble. So therefore my loins filled with pangs, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. So at this time, in the day of the Lord, this person is going to be amazed when it sees the destruction of Babylon. And this was in their vision. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. And then behold, there came a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken into the ground. So we could now take you to the book of Revelations, and it quotes this exact same thing. But I'm sharing with you that this is Old Testament teaching, and then Revelations is just building upon what has been written. So now we're going to jump to Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 1 through 5. And it says, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon, declare ye among the nations, and publish and set up a standard. Now, I'm wanting us to catch that when we read this, this is in that day. This is prophetic. This is really not about historic Babylon. This is about future Babylon in the day of the Lord. And it's going to identify this unnamed nation that he names just Babylon, mystery of the Chaldeans. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not, saying Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. So whoever Babylon is has fallen into false teachings. Has fallen into different ways to things that are not pleasing to God at all. And how is she taken? Well, out of the north, there comes up a nation against her which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. And in those days, so here we go, this is dating it, and at that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God, and they will ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. So those of you that are taking notes, I am telling you, I tie this to the 144,000. And the 144,000 that come out of whatever country modern-day Babylon is, she has a great Jewish population. And then whatever country is modern-day Babylon, you can put your finger in the heart of her and draw a line due north, and you'll find out what nation destroys her in one hour. So now we know the time of the destruction of Babylon. Now let's identify Babylon itself. Now, this may be a stretch for some of you. I'm not going to go into it, but I'm just going to give you the identifying scriptures, and then I could go to Daniel also. But whoever Babylon is, her symbol is the eagle. And you can get this out of Daniel. You can get this out of Ezekiel. If you want the reference, it's Ezekiel 17 and 3. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, a great eagle with great wings. And this is whenever Babylon comes against Israel. And we're talking now historical Babylon. And Babylon's symbol was the eagle. It's interesting today that there is a country that the president of that country, his seal, that emblem is the eagle. We're beginning now to give you the identifying signs that you can find in the Bible that will identify who modern Babylon is that is destroyed. Babylon is a proud people. Whoever this nation is, it's unnamed in the Bible. And in Isaiah 47, verse 1, and then I'll skip and read verse 7 and 10, come and sit down in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. Why? Because you said, I'll be a lady forever. In other words, Babylon is impervious to the fact that it can fall. Her people believe that that would be ridiculous for anyone to say it. And this is exactly what happened in ancient Babylon with the walls that were so fortified that were partying whenever they were taken down. Because they were so fortified that they were so arrogant that if anyone, and it was prophesied to them, and while it was being prophesied, it was happening, handwriting on the wall, that they would be in disbelief because of their fortifications. So whoever modern-day Babylon is, she says, I will be a lady forever, and you will not lay these things to thy heart. In other words, you're not going to receive this message. Neither did you remember the latter end of it. Therefore now hear this, thou art given to pleasures, and you're dwelling carelessly. You say in your heart, in other words, your borders are open. You say in your heart, I am, and there's none beside me. We are the great nation. I'm not going to sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of my soldiers or children. But these two things will come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood, and they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of your sorceries and for the great abundance of your enchantments. For you have trusted in your wickedness, and you have said, none seeth me. Now catch this, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted thee, and you have said in your heart, I am, and none else beside me. In other words, you have made yourself the God, a God unto yourself. And whoever this modern day Babylon that is destroyed, Jeremiah 50 and 11 identifies that it started out with God as her heritage. So in Jeremiah 50 and 11, God says, because you were glad, you rejoiced, you destroyed, or destroyers of my heritage, because you are now fat as the heifers at grass and bellow as bulls. So we see whoever modern-day Babylon is, that she started out in the doctrines of God. Babylon's mother nation will still be alive on the earth when modern-day Babylon falls. So whoever modern-day Babylon is, if she had a mother nation, that means she came out of a nation. And the nation that she came out of will still be on the earth and will see her destruction. Jeremiah 50 and 12. Your mother will be confounded, she that bare you, in other words, that brought birth to you, shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of nations, which means the last of great nations, shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. And then we'll jump to Jeremiah 50, verse 6. The heritage and the beginning with God is broken, and the people are led astray by false doctrines and false shepherds. Jeremiah 50 and 6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains, and they've gone from mountain to hill. They've forgotten their resting place. Now, the resting place is the Holy Spirit. But thank God America can't possibly be modern Babylon, because all of our churches preach the rest of the Holy Ghost. And our preachers all preach the Bible. And our preachers all preach the truth of the Word. So we're safe, huh? Jeremiah 50 and 11. Because you were glad, because you rejoiced, you destroyers of my heritage, and I've read this, you've grown fat. So this country that began on the things of God has turned from it. Jeremiah 51 and 44. And I will punish Baal, which is false religion, in Babylon. And I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. The interesting scripture also, that it's obvious that ancient Babylon didn't oppress, but absolutely destroyed Israel and took them into captivity. But in this prophecy of modern Babylon, whoever modern Babylon is, somehow she has oppressed Israel. Possibly through treaties, possibly through alliances, possibly through being involved in her governmental system. Jeremiah 50 and 33, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah are pressed together, and all that took them captive held them fast. They refused to let them go. It's interesting that when I'm in Israel, the Jewish soldiers would tell you, if the country that they are in alliance with would get out of the way, they'd have no trouble in the Middle East. They could take the Middle East over in a week or two. But because their government is tied to another large government that funds them millions and billions of dollars, they are oppressed because of governmental alliances. Whoever modern-day Babylon is, her people are party crazy and pleasure-minded. Jeremiah 51 and 39, and in their heat I will make their feasts. In other words, they have made national, their national feast days now are no longer the feasts of the Lord. Their large gatherings and events where they gather in their halls of worship, maybe their stadiums, who knows. But these are days that are recognized more than days of God. Things like Super Plate, and, well, I don't know what they call it, but anyway. Jeremiah 50, Super Bowl, huh? Jeremiah 51 and 39. So he says, in their heat I will make their feasts, and I will make them drunken. And in other words, they have become people that are pleasure seekers, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep, and wake them not, saith the Lord. In other words, he says, I've put them to sleep. They wouldn't hear my words, so I've put these people to sleep. Isaiah 47 and 8. Therefore hear now this. You are given to pleasures, and you dwell carelessly. And you say in your heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. So we also see that whoever modern-day Babylon is, it's destroyed, sits on many waters, and she is very wealthy, and she has many natural resources. Now, I am simply in this teaching hitting the tip of the iceberg, and as you know, I brought you over 100 identifying marks of modern Babylon. I'm not going to get into all that. I'm just giving you some things that this will be the last we get to the timeline that you can see. God has a plan. Jeremiah 51 and 13. O thou that dwelleth on many waters, abundant in treasures, your end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. Now, I have shown you the map. Ancient Babylon sat on no waters at all. But modern Babylon sits on many waters. Babylon trades in many commodities. In Revelation 18, verses 12 and 13. And you have merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple and silk, scarlet and all your wood, and all manners of vessels of ivory and all manners of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense, wine, oil. In other words, horses, chariots, sheep, souls of men. In other words, whoever modern-day Babylon is wealthy in every commodity. Babylon also is mighty in military might, even fortified to the heavens, in Jeremiah 51 and 53. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. So we see where God is saying, and we need to catch this. The reason Babylon cannot win is God lets you know every time, I'm doing this. And the reason I'm doing this is because of what you've done to me. Jeremiah 50 verse 15, she shall reap what she has sown. So thank God no country in the world has ever used nukes, because if any country in the world had ever used nukes, what she has sown is what she will reap. And thank God nobody dropped bombs on Hiroshima or Nagasaki. So what we see is we see in verse number 15, shout against her round about, she has given her hand, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Catch that. The vengeance upon her, as she hath done, do unto her. So how is Babylon destroyed in 1 hour, in 1 day? Well, obviously we have the technological advancements to take care of that with absolutely no problem whatsoever. And Babylon, whoever she is, did exactly what's going to be done to her, to some city, some country. Now, I find this interesting. This is my interpretation, and I've studied it. Study it. Babylon, whoever modern-day Babylon is filled with foreign warriors and terrorists. So, you want to know how I come up with some of my theories? All my theories are probably wrong. I profess no prophetic influence whatsoever. I'm just giving you my opinions, okay? And if you want to get up here and teach, we'll record yours. Jeremiah 50 and 2. And I will send into Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Jeremiah 51 and 14. And the Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. So because Babylon dwells carelessly and her borders are open, Babylon, God himself, fills with warriors from foreign countries that are going to fight against her. We may call them terrorists in this hour that we live in. In Isaiah 47, verses 11 through 15, when I gave you my thought process on the things that are going to happen in the very near future, and I don't base it on politics or the latest news, but on the Word, what I see in the Word could happen. In Isaiah 47, 11 through 15, we see an act of terroristic attack on Babylon. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it rises. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. So when you see foreign warriors or terrorists in whoever modern day Babylon is, you cannot identify the enemy because there is no country they're coming from. They're mingled with you. Now, I find this interesting. Whoever modern day Babylon is, the fulfillment in the rest of this scripture of Isaiah 47 through 15, you are wearied in the multitude of your counselors. Your leaders have worn you down with all their political rhetoric. Behold, they shall be as stubborn. Well, at least we know the terrorists get some of the target. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Whoever modern-day Babylon is, in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 8 through 9, is she has a large Jewish population. And this is why God tells them, get out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. And I believe not only the 144,000, but I believe a multitude. And of course, we have already seen an amazing thing going on is... Hey, Shirley, could you get me a cup of coffee, please, babe? The amazing thing going on is If you were in Israel right now, to see how many people are leaving very prominent countries to come back to a place that's under war. God is drawing people, if you will check visas and these things, by the thousands. Jeremiah 50, verse 8 and 9. Her destruction will come from the north, which I will mention once again. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations. Thank you very much. And they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence shall she be taken. Their arrows shall be as the mighty expert men. None shall return in vain. So I'm likening the arrows to be missiles. And they're going to hit their mark. They're going to hit their target. That's what God says. Jeremiah 50, verses 29 through 32. Babylon is full of pride, rebellion, and arrogance. Call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow. Camp against it round about, let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she's done, doing to her. She has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. So God says, I'm against you, O most proud. God says, I am the Lord of hosts, and your day has come. I'm going to visit you. And you, most proud, shall be stubble and fall, and none shall raise you up. And I will kindle a fire in your cities, and it will devour all around about you. So, whoever modern-day Babylon is, we see that it's on God's hit list. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 41 and 42. Behold, the people shall come from the north and a great nation. Many kings shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. So this is a coalition. It is not just simply some rogue nation that's mad at Babylon. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel. They're not going to show any mercy. Why not? Because God's put this in their heart. Their voice shall roar like the sea. In other words, the noise of this coming forth is deafening. And they shall ride upon horses, everyone put in array like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter Babylon. Now what's interesting is in verse 43 we find out Babylon does not strike back. The king of Babylon hath heard the report, and his hands wax feeble, and anguish takes hold on him, as the pangs of a woman in travail. And of course we see in Jeremiah 50 verses 39 through 46, whoever Babylon is will never be inhabited again. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved. And the cry is heard among the nations. And then it goes on, tells us about the wild beasts of the desert, and the islands will dwell there, and the owl there, and it shall no more be inhabited forever. So obviously, when we look at ancient Babylon, it will not fulfill any of these prophecies. We are looking at the great unnamed nation of modern Babylon. Verse 40, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities, thus saith the Lord, so shall no man abide therein. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 22 through 24, read a couple of these verses. A sound of battle is in the land and of a great destruction. And then it tells us what land. How is the hammer, that has forged the earth's policies, that has forged the earth's entertainments, musicians, you can just go down the list. So how is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become desolate among the nations? And this attack will be deceptive. So what we see is, I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou was not aware that thou art found and also caught, because you have striven against the Lord. So what we see is, once again, that the purpose for this destruction of modern Babylon is because it has turned from the things of God, and not only turned from the things of God, but has come against the things of God. In Isaiah 13 and 19, in Babylon the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency, I've already read this in another portion of Scripture, will be when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. In Revelations 18, verse 8 through 10, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment. So whatever this burning is, they don't want to get near it because they don't want to be tormented. Alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment has come. So you want to study along with these scriptures in Isaiah, read Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, give you many more identifying marks, and of course Revelations chapter 18. So this brings us to, we will start in our next lesson, the timeline. Before we do that, I'll do some reflecting on where are we in Bible prophecy. Well, for the first time, we know that nothing could happen until Israel became a nation. That happened in 48. We see where Israel took back the Temple Mount in the Seven-Day War. And when was it? 67? Is that right? And then we see now where we have the priesthood that's reestablished. That didn't happen until just a few years ago. We see now where we have, of course, the temple, and they are ready to possibly be able to start sacrifices and rebuild. They've already begun practicing the sacrifices. They built a great altar out by the Dead Sea a few years back and began not practicing for atonement, but to train a priesthood. We now have priests that have been raised on stone blocks or never left stone courtyards so that they will be qualified to offer the ashes of the red heifer for the sprinkling. We now have the fulfillment of the Mark of the Beast technology. None of us in this room would be shocked to hear that we can now, rather than have a microchip in a card, put it in our right hand or our forehead and enter into a beast technology system that will happen, I believe, in the middle of the week. We know exactly where the location of Solomon's temple is, and those of you that read, well, there'll be a temple built north of the Muslim dome. I have no faith in that theory at all. I can take you into the Muslim dome, show you right where the trenches are built, where the walls of the Holy of Holies set, actually the spot where the Ark of the Covenant set, and those that are in charge of rebuilding the temple, that ain't going to happen. They're not going to put it anywhere other than where God said it was. We have the 6,000 years of man that now has been completed since Adam till today. We have entered in to those 6 days of work. We're entering into the seventh day, or the millennium, the day of rest, the 1,000 year, the day of the Lord. We now have seen the seventh kingdom arise. So all these things I'm mentioning to you are in the prior 10 lessons. We're in lesson 11 on prophecy. And then we see now the end time nations that will exist, that will come to battle and war against Israel. They're on the nightly news as we speak. We now have the capability with weapons to melt the elements and to destroy a nation in one day with absolutely no problem. We see things where the whole world will watch. We wouldn't have known how that could have happened, but the technological advance of TV. Heck, you can take a smartphone now and be in another country and send your friends a full movie live of what's going on. The Bible says in the last days that knowledge will increase. Of course, with the internet explosion in 1993 beginning, the things that are going on right now, we are living in the time when knowledge is increased. We have air travel. He says that they will come as the clouds whenever they come to the feasts in Jerusalem. We are experiencing the birth pangs with our earthquakes, our plagues, tidal waves, wars, rumors of wars, ethnic cleansings, all that was spoken of in Matthew chapter 24 as Jesus gave his account of the end of the age. And then, of course, with a quick review, we have learned of the age of our universe, 15.5 billion years old. We walked through Einstein's theory of relativity that actually means that in God's time clock, we've been here 6 days. We're about to enter into the seventh day. We understand the age of man, and prehistoric man just means before man could write. But whenever we get into after prehistoric man, science, anthropology, and the Bible all agree there may be a discrepancy of a couple of thousand years. So whenever we get prehistoric man, that just means man that had not the ability to write. Of course, Adam could. So that's where we start with man as we know it. He isn't prehistoric man, but he's the first man that was made a living soul. And then, of course, we understand the calendar of God, which simply gives to us this 7,000-year plan, or this 7-day plan we have read to you from the writings handed down from Adam all the way to Polycarp, and then even after that, where it is understood that the Lord would not come until after 6 days or 6,000 years. And so the early church was never looking for the coming of the Lord. We've pulled the mistaken teaching off of what most Americans have learned, that the Lord could come any time, because God has perfectly given us not only that, but in Leviticus chapter 23, He has given us His appointment schedule, which He stayed to exactly when He fulfilled the first four appointments with being crucified at Passover, buried at unleavened bread, resurrected at first fruits, then would not pour out the Holy Spirit until the feast of Pentecost, Shavuot. And now we are waiting for the three final appointments, which is the day of the awakening blast, the opening of the gates, we call the Feast of Trumpets, when the resurrection of the dead takes place, followed by that next feast of the Day of Atonement 7 days later, representing Daniel's 70th week of the 7 years between, when he will return on the Day of Atonement, and then the final feast or the appointment on the calendar of God is the Feast of Tabernacles, where we crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords here in Jerusalem in the temple that will be rebuilt. We have seen the seventh kingdom now restored. Those of you that were here for that lesson on us, we know the old Roman Empire was restored, which was the western portion, but now we see through the French president, whenever he ran in 2008, and he pulled off restoring now the eastern leg of the Roman Empire through the union of Mediterranean nations, of which Israel is a part and gladly joined, which allows us to now understand why they will accept a European Antichrist, so to speak, that will align with them. And then we look at the end time nations. So all these prophecies that are fulfilled, and we are identifying now that there is a modern Babylon and her identifying characteristics. And when we look at all this, we realize that anything can happen from this day forward. All the books that are written, we've had the blood moons. Interesting that 2016 is when the next Metonic moon cycle comes about, which I'm more into that than I am the blood moons. They're just road signs. But I think what I find really interesting that no one caught whenever I mentioned it to you nor came and asked questions about is after 2016, the next Metonic moon cycle, when's the next one after that? Well, I'm glad you asked. I told you, 2022, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 21, 22, 7 years between the next Metonic moon cycle. So we are living in an hour. Now, the rabbis that I am friends with, they will tell you they are looking for the Messiah to return in the next 2 years. We are at the door and closing out for all the thousands of people that are listening to this. You need to understand this. We have never set dates. We have never set times. We are not a group of wackos. We are just like you, people that want to know our God and that are yearning to understand His Word. And so this teaching is coming from a theory that we're basing on what we see in the Word, whether correct or not. Jesus is Lord. But the point is this, that whenever we see these things coming upon us, we need to recognize that my thought process is that the reason you don't hear so much about the rapture of the church anymore is because many ignorant people, well-meaning people in their zeal, tried to set dates and years for the return of the Lord. And it didn't do anything except hinder what God is doing. And so now pastors, preachers, and people are afraid to be involved with speaking about it because you look like the lunatics that did it in the past. You will not have to tell Christians when the Lord is coming. If you are a born-again believer that has Christ as your head, that is plugged into the body, that dwells in His Spirit, and His Spirit dwells in you, my opinion is you will be like the animals that God drew to the ark. I do not believe you'll see planes falling out of heaven, out of the skies because pilots disappear, or buses crashing because their Christian drivers left. I believe rather, this is my opinion, and I base it on many biblical factors, and I'll close with this. I think 7 days, just as it was 7 days before God closed the door in the ark, and Noah and his family got in, I believe the church will begin to feel the intensification of the Spirit, that you'll call into work, you'll realize there's no need to show up. You'll begin to call your loved ones, your friends, and I believe there will be a great end-time harvest, that pay that gets to those that got paid in 1 hour, the same pay as those that came to work at 8, will receive that same gift of eternal life, different rewards. And I believe that any man that tries to tell you the Lord's coming, then you're not in the right standing with God, because that same Spirit that's in them, we are not the head of the church as ministers. Christ is the head of the body. And Christ is the head of the church. And therefore, we're just holding different offices that he calls us to. And so people that try to be super spiritual scare me. And so what we see is that God himself will illuminate each believer, and he will be drawing them to that house. And that's the way I believe it'll go down, because God's not going to bring about chaos. And can I tell you something? Just like when they left Egypt, Egypt went right on. It's still here today. We may not even be as missed as you think. But what will bring about the calamity in the earth is, as soon as God gets us out of here, modern day Babylon is the greatest power in the earth, and she'll be destroyed. And that'll get the attention of Israel and the European nations. They'll have to come together to be her protector, because no longer she'll be alone without them. So anyway, just a thought. So we are looking at, in my faith, I believe with all of my heart, I've got another 9.5 years to go to live the years that God's promised. And I believe that if I live to be 70, I believe with all my heart that I will see the return of the Lord. I believe we are the generation that's going to see that return. So God bless you. I hope something said here will help you.